Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. And if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Goodbye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Hour 2. We're only 15 minutes late today, but that's okay. So much to talk about. Seriously, I feel like the show flies by every day, and I'm like cramming in stuff to get it in 2 hours. It's crazy. It's insanity. It's the Loaded Show here on the Adam Carriker Show. All right. We're going to talk about Nebraska. They're appearing in some of these post-spring, preseason, got to slow down to make sure I enunciate properly, college football top 25 polls. All right, real quick, we did talk about Dylan Raiola potentially being a top five quarterback in the Big Ten yesterday. And there's we talked about some of the quarterbacks that were not on the list I looked at yesterday. I'm looking at this list right now, depending on who you look at. All right, Smoke Dixon of 247 Sports, by the way, great name. He has Nico Iamaliava number 2. Mm. He wasn't even in the top 5 yesterday. Bryce Underwood number 3. He loves him some young, talented quarterbacks. All right. Malik Washington out of Maryland number 4. He doesn't even have Luke Altmyer in his top 5. Luke Altmyer was number 2 at the list I looked at yesterday. A lot of people love Desmond Williams, all right, who was a true freshman last year, started 2 games, had a phenomenal bowl game for the Washington Huskies. All right. So I'm going to be curious to see how he does, because him and Dylan Raiola obviously came out in the same class. Jaden Maeva doesn't appear anywhere. That's just disrespectful. I feel like that young man's uber talented, and he should at least appear somewhere. All right, you start to look. These post-spring top 25 rankings. I have got one poll in front of me. I've got 2 polls in front of me, and I've got 3. All right, I got Joel Klatz. I got J.D. Pickell. And I have another one, and it says college football rankings, and I don't I don't think I saved the person who had it, but it must have been somebody I thought was credible because I saved it for some reason. So according to the unknown source that I trust, Texas, gag me, use number 1, Clemson. People are high on Clemson, Jake. Number 2. Oh, I should mention, since we did go a little long in the first hour, we got Troy joining us at 12:30. There are some people I want to talk about. Shedeur Sanders. They think he's actually set up in a pretty good way to be the starter at the Browns. I want to get people's thoughts on that from the text line from Jake. All right, but we're going to reveal who's going to be the college football national champion on Monday. We ran a little bit late. We'll play Josh Pate's clip on that. Also, we got a clip from Nick Saban we're going to play on Monday as well. I don't know. Is Nick Saban going to save college football? Is he going to be the college football commissioner? So since we ran a little bit long in the first hour, these things will be moved to Monday and or Tuesday. Again, it's always a loaded show. But here are some of the post-spring top 25 rankings of the 3 polls that I have in front of me right now. You got Texas and Clemson and Penn State, Ohio State, Notre Dame. There's your top 5. Then you got Oregon, Georgia, Miami, LSU, Florida at number 10. This particular poll has Nebraska at 24. All right, you start to look at some of the others. You got SMU at 11. You got Michigan at 12. Arizona State, Texas Tech. Texas Tech's a team to watch out for. What they did in the transfer portal is unreal. They have one, they have multiple donors and boosters, but they have one who is a gazillionaire, and this dude helped them out. And they had, I believe, the number one transfer portal class in the country. That team physically looks different than I think they've ever looked. Was it 08? They only had one loss on the season. I think it was 08. They actually were tied for the Big 12 championship with Texas and Oklahoma. And it was the year they beat Texas on a last-second go route to Michael Crabtree. He broke the tackle, ran it in for a touchdown. But Texas that year, I believe, beat Oklahoma. And then Oklahoma actually destroyed Texas Tech when they played it. But this Texas Tech team is a team to watch out for. All right. Alabama all the way down to 16. Georgia Tech at 17. Those teams are too low. I'm just saying. Illinois at 18. We'll see how they're able to do this year. You start to bounce around a little bit. Kansas State at 19. I don't see why Nebraska can't be where Kansas State is every single year in that top 20 mix. And that's where Kansas State has been. They just won the Big 12 championship, upset undefeated TCU, who went to the, shouldn't have been, but they went to the national championship game later on that same season. Nebraska could be in these same conversations as Kansas State. I see that as very realistic. Now, we're not there, but we can get there, and I don't see why we can't get there. Lenora Sellers, who may be the top quarterback in the entire country, depending on who you talk to, South Carolina at 21. Again, Nebraska at 24, Ole Miss at 25. Feels a little disrespectful there. I think Ole Miss is way too talented. We'll learn more about Lane Kiffin this year, though. All right, J.D. Piquel. He's got Texas, Gag Me U at 1, Ohio State at 2, Penn State at 3, Clemson at 4. People like Clemson. Oregon at 5, Nebraska at 25. So in two of these polls so far, Nebraska's been ranked. These post-spring, preseason, top 25 college football polls. The last one I'm looking at, Joel Klatt, not so much. Nebraska's nowhere to be found. Didn't he say something that was kind of like a veiled shot at Nebraska? Was it during the draft?
He did say something. I can't remember what it was.
I can't remember what it was. If you can remember what it was, and Joel Klatt's actually always been very kind to Nebraska, despite the Colorado-Nebraska rivalry. If you can think of what it was, text it into the text line. Let us know real quick. What's that number there, Jake?
402-464-5685.
Stays the same. He's got Penn State number one, Texas number two, Ohio State number three, Oregon number four, Clemson number five. So I can diatribe in the future. All right, and I'm going to over the course of the summer. These different teams that we've talked about that are like top five, top 10 teams. A lot. Penn State has by far the most amount of returning production of any team in the Big Ten Conference. They need new receivers to step up. That's what they've been missing. They're going to run the ball. They're going to be physical in the trenches. They're going to play defense. They got the most experience, probably the best quarterback in the Big Ten. Like in their playoff game to Notre Dame, their two leading receivers were their tight end and running back. Two leading pass catchers. You can't have that. You got to have receivers step up. And it was a similar situation the year before. That's the question with Penn State. All right, with Texas, they may have the best all-around, most talented team, especially if Arch Manning plays how people expect him to play a quarterback. That's why a lot of people have Texas number one. Ohio State's probably got the best offensive player in America, Jeremiah Smith, probably the best defensive player in America, Caleb Downs. But they've got some holes they got to fill, starting with OC, DC, quarterback, running back room. But they're not without talent. We know that. Oregon is going to be good. What can Dante Moore do? The UCLA highly recruited out of high school, UCLA transfer, who's now going to get his chance. He's the projected starter to start there at Oregon. Clemson. A lot of people think Clemson might just win it this year. After this year, if you look at...
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
The amount of, like, just based on juniors and seniors, guys who won't be there a year from now, after this season, there's going to be a drop. But Clemson could make a pretty good run this year. But again, Nebraska is not in Joel Klatt's top 25. Do you care, Jake? Does that matter to you?
Not necessarily. Now, he does have him in just outside his top 25, so still kind of in the same range. And he also, so what he did say, remember, was Xavier Watts got drafted, and he said, I can't think about Xavier Watts without thinking about the downfall of Nebraska football.
How dare you?
I get that, but I Joel Klatt, from everything I've heard from him, he'd love to talk Nebraska football. So he's just kind of brought it up. And I understand that some people took it as a shot, but he loves that Colorado-Nebraska rivalry. And anytime I've heard him, if you ask him specifically about Nebraska, usually has him in these top 25s. And maybe that's why he's resisting this year. But, you know, altogether, I think it's kind of that same type of area, right? Whether it's 24th or 28th, Nebraska is kind of in that kind of prove it year for Matt Rhule. And so whether you think they kind of get into that top 25 or not, I mean, I hesitate to say this. Would we all be happy if Nebraska was 28th, like just outside the top 25
this record?
Year?
What's their record?
That's what you kind of have to kind of dig out there. Would it be probably?
Give us a record and I'll tell you yes or no.
9-4.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Something the coaches used to get talked about being fired for, and we're actually fired for here at Nebraska, is something I was immediately like, yes, we'd be all right with that. We'd be happy with that. 9-4. I do think a 9-4 Big Ten team is going to be a top 25 team, especially if you won the bowl game, depending on who you played in the bowl game. All right. No, actually, I think Joel Klatt does a great job. He's a Colorado guy. It's an easy thing to have fun with. I think Joel Klatt has been as fair to the University of Nebraska and Nebraska's football program really ever since he kind of emerged as Fox's number one guy. And he kind of, like when Scott Frost got hired, man, he was as excited about that as anybody. Now, he will readily tell you that Colorado-Nebraska rivalry means something to him now. Like, don't get it twisted. But I actually think he's as fair and objective when it comes to Nebraska, and he does a great job when it comes to college football as an overall whole. I'm actually a huge, huge fan of Joel Klatt. Every time I see him, I smile because he was the first guy I ever sacked in college. So that helps too as well. All right, as far as Nebraska being ranked in these post-spring, preseason, top 25 polls, it's a bit of projection. It's like I said when Matt Rhule, you know, being a top five Big Ten coach on the show a couple of days ago, I said it's a bit of projection. What people think Nebraska is obviously going to do, because that's kind of what preseason polls are. You're projecting what a team's going to do, and it's a combination of what you have done. If you just focus on what Nebraska has done, I don't think anybody would realistically have us in the top 25, and that would be fair in any sort of poll at this moment in time. But when you start to project what Matt Rhule's done in year threes in the past, when you project, hey, Dylan Raiola year two, what we brought in, a top five transfer portal class, a top 20 recruiting class, when you start to incorporate all this, and Mike Eckler's talking about, man, there is a culture here. And I can see why people would project Nebraska into the top 25, and I can see why some people would not project us into the top 25. It depends on what you weight more. Do you weight recent history? Do you weight the upside of the team and the potential of the team? How much do you factor in the schedule? I am factoring in the schedule probably as little as I have in a long time. And last offseason just killed it for me, because all we heard was schedule. Could be 7-0 after the first seven games. And then you find out Illinois is a borderline playoff team and Indiana is a playoff team. And you don't know what teams are going to be. Teams are completely different from year to year now in college football. So I look at the schedule. I see one that isn't murderer's row, but I also am like, I do think it's a smidge tougher than last year. Okay. November's definitely got some challenges. Michigan State, they're not going to be gimmies early on. Michigan State's going to be much improved. You talked about Aiden Childs the other day, a guy who could be in that conversation for top five Big Ten quarterback. I think he's going to be a problem for Big Ten defenses this year. He's Michigan State starting quarterback. What in the world are you going to get out of Michigan? They're not going to have their head coach, maybe a true freshman starting, but they're still freaking Michigan, beat Ohio State, beat Alabama. Again, going into that game, Alabama wasn't the team that was injury riddled. Alabama wasn't the team that half their team seemingly was gone to the NFL draft and wasn't in the bowl game. It was Michigan, and then Michigan won. You want to talk about a team that just has a foundation and a culture, and they're just sometimes going to beat you with that? It's Michigan. Also, Michigan State and Michigan are both very beatable here in Lincoln. So it's like I look at the schedule and I don't know what to make of it. When I see these post-spring preseason top 25 polls and I see Nebraska in it, I'm like, that's great. Let's get to about eight games in and then let's talk. Let's talk around that first week in November. And if I see Nebraska not in it, I'm like, whatever. Let's talk about eight, nine games in that first week in November. And let's be real. Each individual game does not matter as much as it used to in college football. If you're one of those folks who wanted a college football playoff expansion, you should be very, very happy. Now, if you're one of those folks that I would debate with, because I did not want the big expansion, I was fine with going to eight. Eight was no problem to me. Okay. But people would look at me and say, it's not going to devalue the regular season. I'm like, how does it not? Go print $1 billion more. It devalues the current money we have. You can't just print money. It has an effect. There's a cause and effect, a causation effect here. You can't just print money. It dilutes the money that you have. That's why you can't just do that. You can't just play more football games without there being a cause and effect. It doesn't mean it's not a good cause. The playoff games, I think we'll have more competitive playoff games in the future. You have your typical blowouts, but you have your close playoff games like Arizona State, Texas, Penn State, Notre Dame as well in the future, Ohio State, Texas. Those are pretty memorable moments. But when people would look at me and be like, it's not going to devalue the regular season, I never believed it for a second. What's nice, though, is now we don't have to flip out every Monday with a Nebraska win or loss, because each game doesn't matter as much, so we can have Are you laughing at me because I'm trying to find something positive here? Are you actually buying it in? Are we still going to freak out every Monday?
We will, yeah.
I am going to try my best on Mondays, whether we won or lost, to remember each game and each week in college football does not have the same individual value as it used to. And I will keep that in mind until November gets here, and then all bets are off. I'm going to do my best. Can you hold me accountable to this, Jake?
I'll try. Yeah, I can try.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, any other final thoughts? Is there anything off the text line before we go to break? And then we better give Mr. Troy Dumas a call.
Well, just a reminder, just like Nebraska snuck into the top 25, I believe it early last year, is once you get into that conversation, whether you're 24th, 28th, like we're kind of saying, you know, historically, that's kind of like, okay, well, still a bit of ways. But nowadays, with the playoff being so big, as soon as you enter that top 25 conversation, that's the goal. That's the next step, is the playoff. So if Nebraska... if you're saying they should be a top 25 team, or if you're ranking them in the top 25, their goal in their measurement should be playoffs.
Well, that's every team's eventual goal, like we've talked about, even more so than a conference championship right now. All right. And so for me, every team's trying to get into that college football playoff. And then it's what Mike Shanahan told us when we were in D.C. He said, I don't care. He said, I don't care if we're the one seed or the sixth seed. It's nice to have, you know, a top seed and a first round bye and home field throughout the NFL playoffs. But once you get in, it's a second season and all bets are off. And what happened in the regular season doesn't matter at all. All you got to do is get in. Everybody just wants to get into the playoff, and then you never know what can happen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, don't go anywhere. We return to Nebraska Football Hall of Famer.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,